Hi, my name is Scott Anderson, and you've reached my podcast. It is August 2017. The sun is out. It's hot. I've been blogging a lot about the concept of microweather. I've talked a little bit about it on my podcast in the past. I did want to kind of expand on some thinking in the microweather area. I have a couple of microweather stations myself. I actually have three. Two of them are true microweather stations and publish data to a website that I can share with other people. The third consumes data off of the NOAA site and provides it. The reason that I have the third has to do more with, you know, needing the NOAA data. It's always good to compare and contrast what NOAA thinks is going on versus what my weather station is telling me what's going on. Most days, Washington, D.C. is between 7 and 9 degrees warmer in the summer and between 2 to 4 degrees warmer in the winter. And by warmer, I mean literally degrees warmer. A big city will always be warmer than the surrounding suburbs. Anytime you have green, you have cold. Green and cold, trees and cold, that's just that they work together. Massive buildings producing heat warm up the surrounding air significantly more than, you know, a number of houses that are much smaller and produce less heat. So when you think about, you know, this concept of microweather, it's really all about sharing weather data. Now, I became a weather geek probably 56 years ago. My father was a weather geek. He loved weather stuff. I have his Galileo thermometer, which I love. Basically, it is a floating thermometer that shows you what the temperature is based on the ambient air temperature. My father always had a weather station in the house, although he never had the really complex ones. He always had indoor-outdoor temperature and a barometer. And I learned to read barometric pressure. I understand the variance. Now, being a boater on the Chesapeake, I'm very akin and attuned to what is exactly, in that concept, right? When you talk about barometric pressure falling, what does that mean? And if it's falling rapidly, then that's a really strong low pressure, and as a boater, you need to beware. You do not want to be out and about at a time when the low pressure cell is really, really strong and there's a nice big storm coming, because that kicks up a lot of waves, and suddenly you're bouncing around on your boat a lot more than you want to be. But the other thing about weather that intrigues me, and I've really been enjoying it with Bloom Sky, is the reality of clouds. When I was a kid, and I don't know if I'm the only one that did this. I don't think I am. I know my father did it with me on occasion. But I used to lay down. When my parents owned a farm, I would, you know, go out on a Sunday evening and help my dad kind of get the big task done that he couldn't do on his own. And when we were done with that, you know, I got a free Sunday dinner. And then, you know, it's back to the real world for my classroom and being a school teacher and, you know, doing the things that I was doing. But one of the things that I would love to do is just, you know, sit out there in the country of Indiana and just watch the clouds go by. I know you see faces and the shapes of horses and Trojan horses and palominos and yada yada. And it's all kind of an intriguing reality. And I still love doing that. But the cool thing about microweather stations, and in particular the Bloom Sky station, is the fact that it gives you time-lapse video. So you can watch the clouds go by every day in 24 seconds or less. So it's kind of fun for me. I kind of enjoy doing that. So that's another thing that microweather buys you. The other thing is, you know, the variances. And I'm working on, you know, I got to figure out a way to get shade for the temperature unit or the thermometer unit of my Bloom Sky, so that does, because it's out in the middle of the sunshine right now, so it's literally in the hottest part of the deck in the back of our house. So there's no way that it can it's never going to have the right temperature. That's why I put my Netatmo thermometer in a much different place, so it was protected by shade, so you're actually getting a better temperature reading from the Netatmo than you do from the Bloom Sky. But that's more because I have to have the Bloom Sky where it is, because that's the best way to get the video. And the video, frankly, is the cool thing. So as you expand and consider and wander through the reality of what microweather is, take a look at the Netatmo system or the Bloom Sky system. They offer a lot of functionality. They offer a lot of cool features. And honestly, you can't go wrong with either. My name is Scott Anderson. You've reached my podcast. I hope you have a wonderful day.